Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi there. Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Today, we're going to talk about how to increase your happiness. You do want to increase your happiness, don't you? I mean, all of us really are interested in happiness, aren't we? I'm a generally happy person, and I definitely want to increase my happiness. Did you know that there is a growing field of science known as positive psychology? Dr. Martin Seligman, he's the author of several books, including Authentic Happiness, Learned Optimism, and Flourish. He put this area of psychology on the map during the late 1990s when he served as president of the American Psychological Association, but it has its roots in the work of Dr. Abraham Maslow and other well-known social scientists from the 20th century. Instead of focusing just on how can we relieve suffering, positive psychologists are focused on how can we become happier. And I'm all for that. According to Wikipedia, positive psychology is defined as, quote, the scientific study of positive human functioning and flourishing on multiple levels that include the biological, personal, relational, institutional, cultural, and global dimensions of life, end quote. Now, as I looked into this area of psychology, I came across the work of Dr. Barbara Fredrickson. I wrote about her in my book, The Day You Find Out Why. She's a professor of psychology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and she's the author of the book Positivity. And the burning question she's addressing in her research is, quote, how much positive emotion do we need to flourish? She says it can be answered by what she calls the positivity ratio. And through her work, she's discovered that the ratio between the amount of positive and negative emotions you have will determine whether you're languishing or flourishing. Now, she says that the tipping point for flourishing starts at 3-1. And that means that you must have or experience 3 or more heartfelt positive emotions for every 1 heart-wrenching negative emotion that you have. Now, she says that most of us, the typical ratio that most of us have is 2-1. That's what most of us experience, not the 3-1. And she also adds, though, that depression and other emotional disorders, they fall into the 1-1 and lower ratios. However, she points out that the ideal ratio is not 3-0. Because there has to be a balance. And this is what I really appreciate about this because, you know, we're all into this positive thinking. And positive thinking is great, especially if you're trying to counteract negative thinking. But she warns against trying to eliminate all negative emotions. So that's really important to note, that we're not trying to get rid of negative emotions. What we're trying to do is balance the negative emotions with more positive emotions. So rather than make your motto be positive, you need to remember that the key to achieving this ratio she talks about is that your positive emotions must be heartfelt and sincere. Otherwise, they're not going to be effective and they'll backfire instead. There's a great video on YouTube in which she explains the positivity ratio in a bit more detail, and she talks about this, how much positive emotion do we need to flourish. You can check it out using the link in the resource section. I also think it's important to note that and point out the difference between positive thinking and unrealistic thinking, not just positive thinking and negative thinking, but positive thinking and unrealistic thinking, like pretending that something that's bad is not really happening, for example. Sometimes we call this Pollyanna thinking, though I have to admit, I always thought that Pollyanna's character in the Disney movie, she got a bad rap. After all, she wasn't ignoring that she was terminally ill, yet she was trying to find a way to cope and be happy while faced with her mortality. I mean, I think all of us would want to, you know, try to be aspire to that. Especially, I think it was important for her because everybody was being so angsty and mopey about it in the movie. Anyway, putting all that aside, it's part of the language now, Pollyanna thinking. And whatever you choose to call it, I think it's important to distinguish this kind of thinking from reality-based positive thinking. some time ago while I was reading a book called Power Thoughts by Robert Schuller, I came across a particular passage about positive versus negative thinking and the concept of how this Pollyanna thinking is not the same as positive power thinking. Schuller calls it positive power thinking. And that really got my attention because I often find myself explaining that just because I'm a glass is half full optimist type of person, it doesn't mean that I'm unrealistic. And Schuller says that this positive power thinking mindset, a person who does this dares to face problems, while a naive Pollyanna thinker, he calls it a Pollyanna thinker, will believe any preposterous proposition offered by a super zealot. That's in his words. They'll believe any preposterous proposition offered by a super zealot. Try to say that 10 times. And in doing so, he says, sets aside the critical part of his mental capabilities and is therefore a weak thinker versus a power thinker. He adds, and this is a quote from his book, "Negative thinking aborts power thoughts because it sees something wrong with the proposal. Positive power thinking expects to see difficulties, challenges, problems, imperfections, shortfalls, but it believes that the positive potential can be safely isolated, immunized, and then developed constructively, profitably, creatively, redemptively. That's why positive power thinkers ultimately emerge as the real achievers." I think that's such a great way to look at it. Positive power thinking expects to see difficulties, but believes there's a way through it and pushes for that. As he calls it, power thinking expects to see difficulties and challenges, but they just push through that and they look for that positive potential. So that gives us some great food for thought, doesn't it, about positivity and positive power thinking. Now let's talk about happiness, though. And there's some science that I want to share with you around happiness. Did you know that your brain is 31% more effective when positive rather than negative, neutral, or stressed? And that the neurotransmitter dopamine, which is produced when you're happy, it turns on the learning centers of your brain. So being happy actually can help you be smarter. I love it. Sean Aker, he's the author of The Happiness Advantage, talks about this advantage of having a positive brain when he cites this and other factoids. It's an amusing and informational TED Talk, and I think you should check it out. You'll see the link to that in the resource section below. Here are some of my favorite statistics from his talk. 90% of your long-term happiness is predicted not by the external world, but by the way your brain processes the world. And if we change it, if we change our formula for happiness and success, what we can do is then change the way we affect reality. Of course, we spoke a lot about that in my last program on neuroscience and changing the way you think and changing reality as a result. But 90% of your long-term happiness is predicted not by the external world, but by the way your brain processes the world. Interesting. Another statistic he says that I think is really interesting is that only 25% of job successes are predicted by IQ. So, of course, I work in the job search world and job transition world with a lot of my clients, and so I'm really interested in this kind of thing. He says 75% of job successes are predicted by your optimism levels, your social support, and your ability to see stress as a challenge instead of a threat. Let me repeat this. Only 25% of job success is predicted by IQ, but 75% is predicted by optimism levels, social support, and your ability to see stress as a challenge instead of a threat. So there you go. Being able to work with stress, always a good thing, right? And use it and turn it around into something positive. There's that positive idea again. But the main thing is to understand this happiness advantage that he talks about how it makes you smarter to be happy. And, of course, one time I came across something, I don't know if it's, you know, biologically validated, but I do know that it makes sense that it takes more muscles to frown, for your face to frown, than it does to smile. I think that makes sense to me. It feels like it takes more energy to frown and be grumpy than it does to be happy. But I don't have the specific statistics and the specific numbers of the kind of muscles it takes, so I can't back that out. But I heard this once, and it makes sense to me. Okay, we've spent a lot of time here looking at positive thinking and happiness and the science even. So let's take a little break, and when we come back, I want to give you three things you can do to increase your happiness. So I'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Harvey and Chris Martin. I love that. Music makes me happy. I just felt happy listening to that. You know, the other day I was teaching a class. I do sometimes teach classes at the UT Professional Development Center here in Austin, Texas, the University of Texas. And the other day I was teaching this class on leadership, and we were talking about the power of demeanor and attitude and how attitude was contagious and how to control our attitude and make sure that if we're kind of in a downer mode, how to pick ourselves up. And, you know, of course, the deal is with your being a leader, you have to make sure that if you are a leader that everybody's watching you, you've got to have a good demeanor and you've got to watch that because people will do what you do. They won't do what you say. They will do what you do. And so we were talking about that, and I had a true confession. Okay, and I'm going to say my true confession again here. As I was driving to the meeting, to the class, I was listening to the radio, and I was getting stressed out because the traffic, it was rush hour traffic, and it was kind of challenging. And I'm like, you know what? What I really need to do is I need to turn on a song that I know will pick me up and change my demeanor from stressed to happy and lighthearted. So I knew I had on my playlist, this is so corny, I know, the song from Oklahoma, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. So I put that on, and oh my gosh, I got a big old smile on my face. If you're ever having a rotten day, just put on that song and listen to that baritone, sing that song. Oh, anyway, of course, today we're discussing positive thinking and happiness. And before the break, I promised to give you some actionable things you could do right away to increase your happiness. And let me tell you that these are scientifically validated to work. Remember that pioneering positive psychologist I mentioned earlier, Dr. Seligman? He and his colleagues conducted a study in which they tested six different happiness, what they called interventions, happiness interventions. Here are the six interventions or activities they studied. And this is directly from the report published in 2005. I'll give you the link in case you'd like to read the whole thing, so you can look in the resource section for that. These are the ones that I'm going to tell you all six of them, and I'm going to tell you what they concluded were the most effective for lasting happiness. So the first one was early memories. They had participants write about their earliest memories every night for 1 week. So it was kind of their control. So just write about your early memories. Number two, gratitude visit. Participants were given 1 week to write and then deliver a letter of gratitude in person to someone who had been especially kind to them, but they had never thanked that person properly. The third one was to list three good things in life, but they weren't just going to write the three things that went well every day and as a list. They actually had to write down the causes as to why things went well. And so they had to do this causal explanation for each good thing. Okay, the fourth one was, they called it you at your best. So participants were asked to write about a time when they were at their best and then to reflect on their personal strengths that they displayed in the story. And then they were told to review their story once a day for every week for a week and then reflect on the strengths they had identified. And then the fifth one was to actually take those strengths, and they called it using signature strengths in a new way. They were asked to take that inventory of character strengths, and they had this test they could take also online, and they can receive individualized feedback about their top five signature strengths. And then they were to take those, and they were asked to use each one of these top strengths in a new and different way every day for just 1 week. So take their signature strengths and use them in a new way every day for 1 week. And the final thing, the last one was identifying signature strengths. This exercise was a truncated version of the one that I just described without the instructions to use the signature strengths in a new way. So just identify signature strengths, okay? So they could take the survey, the test at the website, and note their five highest ones, and then they can use them more often if they wanted to during the week. So it was very vague. All right, so I'm wondering if you have figured out what top three work the best. So this is what Seligman and his team decided, that the three most effective for lasting happiness out of the six was, one, using signature strengths in a new way. So taking that inventory of character strengths on the website and then seeing what their top five signature strengths were and then using one of the strengths in a new and different way every day for 1 week. The result, check this out, they increased happiness and decreased depressive symptoms for 6 months. When I read that, I was really surprised. Wow, that's a long-lasting effect for just doing something for a week. Okay, number two, three good things in life. So this is the one where for 1 week, participants wrote down three things that went well each day, and then they had to also write down an explanation for what caused each of the good things. The result of this exercise is similar, that they increased happiness and decreased depressive symptoms for 6 months. So same as the previous one. So again, I was surprised when I read that. Now the third thing that they found that was effective for lasting happiness was the gratitude visit. So if you recall, this is where the person wrote and personally delivered a letter of gratitude to someone who had been especially kind to them but had never been properly thanked. So the result they measured from this one was that it caused large positive changes for 1 month. So not as long as the other ones, the 6 months ones, but it did create positive changes for a month. So that was these three were the longest lasting happiness interventions. Now, by the way, check out the link in the resource section for a similar experiment using the gratitude exercise. It's a wonderful video. It's done by produced by Soul Pancake, and it's called The Science of Happiness, an Experiment in Gratitude. And for me, it was so cool, I had to get a Kleenex box, okay? So I'm just saying, it was really, really cool and uplifting. Anyway, so back to Dr. Seligman's findings on increasing your happiness. Near the end of the report, Seligman and his team of researchers, they posed this interesting question. What would happen if people used a combination of or even all three of these happiness interventions? How much more lasting happiness might be achieved? So they didn't answer this question, of course, in their report, but it was one of those things that they posed where why not use them all in tandem or why not do all of them and see if you could get happiness to last longer. So that's some really interesting stuff. I think, you know, we could talk about happiness. We know happiness makes, you know, what makes us feel good. The things that lift us up and make us feel more joyful and have happiness. We can think about, you know, that positivity ratio that Dr. Fredrickson talked about, and having heartfelt positive emotions juxtaposed with the really kind of downer thoughts that we have. And, of course, Dr. Fredrickson is very wise in pointing out to us that you can't eliminate negative thoughts altogether. They are a part of life. You have to have them. And I don't know if it's in that particular video about positivity ratio or another one I had seen by her, but she actually uses the analogy of a sailboat and a visual on the screen when she's projecting it to her lecture hall. And she shows that the top part of the sailboat, the boat itself and the sail that sticks up above the water, those parts above the water are the things we see, and that is most of the demeanor that we have. But the keel, which is that long thing that gets attached underneath the boat, the hull of the boat, and keeps the boat upright, is important too. And she says, imagine that is the negative part of your life, or the things that happen that necessarily are underneath the water. You don't see them. They're under the surface. You have to have it all for this ship or this sailboat to go through the water. And if you don't have all of it working together, this boat will capsize. So it is not realistic that you're always positive on that surface, that there are negative thoughts to acknowledge. That was a very interesting insight that she shares. So what will be your takeaway today? Will you go figure out your key strengths and then consciously use them in a new way? I definitely recommend that. It's a good way to find your strengths and then go out there and use them. You will find all sorts of great and positive responses from people, not to mention be happier. And if you want to find your strengths, you can, of course, go to the AuthenticHappiness.org site that Seligman has, and I'll give you that link as well. But I would strongly recommend using the book StrengthsFinder 2.0 by Tom Rath. When you purchase the book StrengthsFinder, you will find in the back that there's a code you can use to take the assessment that they provide online, the strengths assessment. And you'll get back this report that explains your top five strengths out of a possible 34. What I really like about the report, and that will be, I think, helpful in this particular exercise if you want to figure out your key strengths and figure out how to consciously apply them in your, you know, week, for a week, is that they have an action ideas, a specific action ideas for each of your strengths. So you might get some ideas from that and use that to figure out how to use your strengths in a new way and increase your happiness for 6 months. So, hey, be worth the price of the book. Okay, what about writing your good things in life list, that three good things in life list? And you can, of course, remember you have to explain what caused them for one whole week. That would be, like, really cool. I think it's like counting your blessings, isn't it? I can't help but think that the magic to this one is that you're not only noticing what's going well and what's going right so you can do more of it, but you're also reflecting not only what's working, but also you're thinking about gratitude. You're maybe thinking, hey, I haven't been having gratitude. I think it would be kind of almost subconscious. Some of us do it consciously where we're looking at the things that are going well and we automatically go to gratitude. If you do it enough and you practice it enough, it becomes second nature. It has become that way for me. But, you know, if you're not, subconsciously there's maybe some gratitude under the undercurrent there. Anyway, that takeaway action, if you decide to do it, also 6 months of increased happiness. So if you want happiness, there are some easy things you can do, and you can do them today. As soon as you hear this, you can sit down and do them. And, gee, I just feel better thinking about doing this stuff. I don't know about you. All right, so that's really all we have time for today. I hope you will take at least one thing that we talked about today, and you'll use it to actively increase your happiness. I want you to feel good. I also want everyone around you and in your life to feel good, too, because let's be honest, happiness, just like any attitude, like I said before, it's contagious. Now, before I go, let me tell you about the next program coming up on May 3rd. We're going to talk about how to turn your career journey into a conscious living journey. This is where you get to choose a job or a career path that's in alignment with your authentic self. And I've got some really great ideas and advice for you on just how to do that, because this is most of what I do for a living, is talk about this with people. So I have some great tips for you. So be sure to tune in. Also, before I go, I want to give a special shout-out to our music makers for today's program, Doom Dance and Purple Planet. Please feel free to check out the links on the webpage for these musicians. And you'll also see those links I mentioned about today's topic. And by the way, if you're interested in learning more about my books, courses, and other programs, you can go to angelaloeb.com, angelaloeb.com. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of links, including to Facebook and Twitter and Google+. Feel free to send me an email or to request to connect. I'd love to be with you on Facebook, Twitter, and G+. A quick reminder to join me here every first and third Sunday for a new program. Every first and third Sunday, we have new programs on Be Radiant Radio. And I'll keep bringing you informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to. Until next time, shine on.